thousand roses. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We read together. The Lord has been laying emphasis on this scripture for a while now. And one of the most beautiful things of having to share is that the word comes, or when the word comes forth before you actually come to the pulpit, is actually very beautiful, because you can see the Lord is saying one thing to the body at this point in time. Our labor today would be to establish understanding in certain areas. You see, I'm going to be speaking on a topic I titled An Effectual Priesthood. An Effectual Priesthood. And this is very important. Priesthood speaks of the prayer ministry of the church fundamentally. But first and foremost, it is a lifestyle. It is captured in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It is captured in Matthew 5 verse 13 to 16. But priesthood is a lifestyle of separation, but also effect on the earth. He says that every high priest is separated from amongst men in things pertaining to God. But he said he's ordained for what? For men. Right? So, let's read that scripture. We'll start reading from verse 5. We'll read all the way down to verse 13. Let's go. 1, 2, go. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burning offerings and sacrifices for sins, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifices and offering, and burnt offerings, and offerings for sins, thou wouldest not. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we sanctify through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes same sacrifice, which has seen. Let's read this together loudly from verse 12 to 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to be made a footstool. He's expecting it. There is an expectation. There are many aspects of works with God that we don't fit. You are either called into it or you are not called at all. There are many people who are professing the name of the Lord. But when it comes to standing as a candlestick to declare the mandates of the Lord in a land, you don't fit that. You are called into such dimensions. And when understanding and words begin to come in all these areas, what the Lord is doing is that He's creating a door. He's creating a door to walk in that light. Jeremiah was ordained from birth, but the Lord came to him as a young man and said, this day I have made thee. I've set thee against nations, rather. But there was a day, that's the point I'm trying to make. Even though he had been ordained from birth, there was a day he was ordained to start to function as a judge over nations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. By God's grace, we trust for a short discussion today. And we'll see how the Lord helps us, and maybe we can continue another time. He says that he's expecting it. And this expectation is as a result of the fact that he sat down. One of the truths every believer must come into walking understanding of is the place of the body of God. Or rather, the body of Christ. He sat down expecting till his enemies be made a footstool. The difference between the last Adam and the first Adam is one thing. Scripture says that the first Adam is of the earth element, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. It's from heaven above, right? The last Adam actually has a body on earth. And who is that body? Who is that body?
I am.
We don't seem sure. Who is the body of Christ? I thought someone would shout, I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
The body is not disjoint from the head.
At all.
And the head cannot, or the body cannot manifest a life that is different from the head. As he is in heaven, so are, not I, but so are we. There is capacity when the body comes into view to enact the will of God on earth. And that is what the Lord is doing at this time. In every functional candlestick, when the Lord, especially in this time, what the Lord is emphasizing a lot, there are other things. But the church must be a house of prayer.
Jesus.
And let me say this. Someone may be wondering, I'm struggling in my prayer life. Why are these people talking and drinking? I'm struggling to pray around 6 o'clock. You are telling me to battle principal. What's your problem? Which kind of thing is that? And truly, like Auntie said, it makes me remember the men of David. These men were, the Bible says they came unto him in Hebron. They did not have anything to offer with regards to warfare. I want to let you know, this is not a charge. This is not fitting it or trying to charge you or to tell you. I'm telling you reality. Every man in this place is a man of war.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
See, you may not see yourself that way yet, but you must know that every man is a man of war in this place.
Yes.
If we can only see ourselves the way God sees us. You see, David was running. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
David was running from Saul. But you know, he had already been anointed king. I want to ask you a question today. Saul was sitting on the throne, right?
Right.
Whenever God looked from heaven, who was he seen as a king? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Did David's current situation divine or change the fact that he was a king? You must see yourself the way God sees you, regardless of the situation. And the Lord wants to cause a paradigm shift. See, it is very easy. It's easy to come and, by the grace of God, to discuss and look into prayer. But we must have the right mindset towards prayer as a body.
Amen.
You are, no man can be higher than his thought life. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. You cannot function higher than your thought life. The way you think, that is the way you live it. And the Lord will want to turn to shift our understanding. So today we will look more into an identity-related meditation. Then if the Lord permits, we will look into some other aspects as other from next week. Yeah. I would like us to turn to Revelations 1. Revelations 1. Revelations 1 from Revelations 1 from verse 5 to 6. And I'll read quickly. and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. A lot can be said about that. The prince of the kings of the earth. That does not make any sense. It should be something else. You are either the king of the kings, or you don't say prince of what? Because the prince is lower, right?
Yeah.
Let's continue. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? No problem. I will explain.
Because the prince is the
ruler.
The ruler, the head. So that prince means the head.
I was going there. Hallelujah! No, yes ma. Don't mind me. Yes ma. Blessed be the. You see, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is heavy upon her. And thank God she just. And prophecy has been guiding us today. In fact, I can even go and sit down now. Tumim will just come and take over from me.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Blessed be the name. The prince, the ruler of the kings of the earth. The kings. And kings is in plural there. But that's not my emphasis, because that would take us into something else. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And I want us to read verse 6 slowly and gently. And he has made us what? Kings and priests. Unto God and unto his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever
and ever.
Please, whatever scripture you know in this world, I don't care what you want to preach, you can talk about Tohu and Bohu. You can talk about anything you want to preach, but the truth of the fact that you are a king and a priest must sink in.
And unto God.
Unto God. It must be a reality in your heart. It must direct your lifestyle. It should form your self-concept. The reality that you are a king and a priest. Now we are going to take some time to, because this is very important. For us to better appreciate this, we'll do a bit of a division, then we'll bring it together and we'll define it from a very practical point of view. You understand? We'll define what a king is and what a priest is quickly. We're laying foundations, we'll move the speed going forward. Let's say in the name of the Lord. We will all participate. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. So, I want to ask quickly, what would you say are some characteristics that a king can be known by? If someone just spin words, characteristics, what is a king?
He rules.
He rules? Okay.
Authority. Scepter.
Okay, scepter.
Throne.
Throne. Scepter. Can everybody see my handwriting?
Yeah.
You know, let me say this. They say people with bad handwriting are very intelligent.
Yes. That's true.
So if it's bad, amen. So, can we get more words?
Throne.
Throne.
Crown.
We're almost
crown.
A crown.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, boss. I don't want to shut this down. But is this too far? Can everybody see this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, we'll stop here. We have enough. This is all important and synonymous with the kingly identity. But we'll pick out some which tie more. When you hear a king, it is more synonymous with a king. And the first one is authority. The second one is a territory or a sphere of influence. You must know your territory as a believer. And there are many aspects to this. We can look into it further. First of all, you must know your territory as a man. Right. Let's be done. And lastly, a king has a different social status than all of them. He is different from every other man. You cannot put a king and an ordinary man in the same box. They don't. No social status and things like that, like sociology, basically. Yeah. So, a different social status. Well, laying foundations. Let's take it easy. Now, with regards to the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom is driven by two things mainly. And number one is faith vetted out of understanding. And secondly, the anointing. Are we fluent?
Yes.
Are we together? If we're together, shout amen.
Amen.
So, we're looking now into three important things quickly. And we'll go into the priest very soon. Social status, or when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, identity. So you have authority, which is either given by reason of hereditary or birth, right? And sometimes it is conferred upon you by reason of association, right? So you have also a territory. And with regards to every body, that's every spiritual body, you must be conscious of a territory. Like I said, as a man, first of all, your first territory is your house.
Amen.
Because the spiritual realm is legalistic. That's one thing you must know. Things don't just... The reason why you can make certain judgments is because they have been trespassing. So you say, this is the honor of the saints, to bind their tongues with chains, and the nobles with fetters of iron. He says to execute what? The judgment written. So there is judgment written based on trespass. Right?
Yeah.
Are we together? Amen. Let us flow together. So we have the territory. Very important, you must know the authority of the believer, which is conferred by reason of your identity with Christ, fellow heirs with Christ. You must be sure of the territory. There is a physical territory, which the Lord, I believe, at this point in time, is conferring or committing to this body and to other bodies in this city and beyond. Winnipeg and further. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That is very important. And when it is clear, executing, because these two are tied, you cannot execute authority beyond your sphere of influence. As powerful as Buhari is, he is only limited to
Nigeria.
Thankfully. So they are connected. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So these two can increase. As your territory increases, your authority level, whether as a believer, there's a lot that can be said of territory. There's territory even in ministry. You will see that Ezekiel was called to the house of Israel, but Jeremiah was set over nations. But they were still prophets. Though there are many aspects that we can go into that, but we won't go into that aspect. Now, identity does not change. This is the most constant aspect. Identity is constant because it is, you did not, what the scripture said there is that This identity of priests and kings is conferred upon by reason of the rebirth, by reason of the washing of the blood. So you did not have to work for it. Once you accepted Christ, you just became a king and a priest. Is that clear? So we have first the understanding of a king. It is, and a king in the spirit is not necessarily an apparel related thing. It's not a costume. It is tied towards authority. Because the kingdom of God is quite interesting. Like Auntie pointed to, I don't know how we're going to that. He says he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. The kingdom of God is different from every other kingdom in the sense that the kingdom of men functions as kings over subjects. But the kingdom of God functions as what? King of what? Of kings. The kingdom of God runs because every believer has authority in them and it is outsourced or gotten from the one who is the supreme. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's move on. And we outline some things for what a priest is. Looking at it from a biblical perspective, but even more so, if I could say a secular perspective, not to give us a definition, but to give us an appreciation for the scriptural definition of who a priest is. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's take some things down. Five important things to know about a priest. The scripture we read earlier, which is Hebrews 5, verse 1. If we can read that quickly, just pull that up.
Hebrews
3. Hebrews 5:5. Hebrews 5, verse 1. Now it says, for every high priest is taken from among men and is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer offerings, both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, the reason we can use this definition is because the pattern of our priesthood is one who has gone beyond the holy place. We can also use this as a pointer, like Uncle Shola pointed to. The first definition of a priest is one who stands representing men before God, and God before men. Now, let's take some pointers down, still from this scripture. Number one, a priest is separated from men and separated unto God. Like he says, every priest is taken from amongst men. Number two, he stands representing men before God and God before men. Number three. Should I slow down?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I move on? Okay. Number three. A priest must be a man. There is no such thing as a spirit priest. The realm of earth is given to men. And for any spirit to find expression in this part of eternity, he must do that through Musa.
Amen.
Through men. You will find that, for example, you see things like where we come from, which is in Africa. There are also priests there. There have been stories, or like we see in Nigerian movies and things like that. You see things like maybe a priest standing for a community that is affected by war. And you see the priest going to make an agreement with the spirits. For example, we want to win this warfare. However, we want a backing from the spirit because the spirit realm is the realm of advantage. This realm is a casualty of the spirit realm, because everything is settled there. So he says, I want to gain an advantage in warfare. Can you, maybe when these our enemies are coming, can you smite them with leprosy and give us victory? And the spirit will say, yes, it's all right. But I require something of you. In every 2 years' time, I want a virgin. Does that sound familiar? I want a 16-year-old virgin, fair. All those, you know what I'm talking about, right? But it makes a demand. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's a sacrifice for that spirit to find expression upon the earth. But the spirit of God is quite different. It does not force. The only basis for which he finds expression is that men are willing. He says that in the day of his power, what? The people shall be willing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, the Holy Spirit finds expression through willing men. He says, gather to me my saints, who by covenant have made a sacrifice. How different? Who by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. And they are such that the Lord is gathering at this time. In all of the earth, every corner of the earth, the Lord is gathering people to himself. He's gathering people who will fulfill his desire in these times. And please don't see yourself as, don't see yourself as something, as incapable. What he says, I will raise up a faithful, he will do it. It is not about you. That's what I want to make clear. You may be struggling in your prayer life, but when God says, I will do it, it means I will. It does not mean another thing. So our gaze must be fixed only on Jesus Christ in this time. Because when he comes and he gives us entrance into such subjects like this, there is grace and there is enablement and there is authority to back our prayers. If the Lord opens our eyes to see what has been going on in the spirit, by our little Friday prayers and things like that, it will scare you. We did not begin to take ourselves really serious until the Lord began to expose us to what was going on. But with much consciousness of who we are and what we are doing, the higher the effect of our prayers will be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, I am the priest of the Lord.
I am a priest of the Lord.
Shout it, I am a priest of the Lord.
I am a priest of the Lord.
Shout it again, I am a priest of the Lord.
I am a priest of the Lord.
I stand before men.
I stand before men.
Representing men.
Representing men.
And I stand before God.
I stand before God.
Representing God.
Representing God.
It is an honor to do so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And priesthood even goes into your family. You will find out that certain things in your life are highly tied. I mean to your family. Certain things in your life are highly tied to your prayer life as well. There are certain things in your families. As we begin to grow and push on and press on in God, you see that the Lord begins to reveal things to you to pray about. That on another day you would not have thought about it. You know, we just take ourselves as, I'm coming to church, I just want a word for the hour, just to encourage me. But the Lord is seeing a champion, he's seeing a victor, he's seeing a warrior. You know, the scripture says, in all these things, we are what?
More.
We are more than, not after all these things. In what, sir?
Inside.
That means your identity as a victor does not change. It's your mindset that changes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In all these things, we are what?
More.
We are more than conquerors. Let's move on. Number four. Also, adding to number three, one of the reasons Jesus can also be called our high priest is because he too is a man. The scripture describes Jesus. It says that there is one God, and there's the mediator between God and men. And how did he put it? The man, what? Jesus. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Let's outline some things quickly and we will move with higher pace. 4. Priests are men that partner with spirits. And spirits find expression in the realm of earth through men. Now I'm speaking more from a secular point of view, but to give us an appreciation of things from a practical standpoint. The reason the spirit of infirmity can find expression, or the spirit of death, we went to Rosso some months back, almost 2/3 of the houses there had cancer. Is that ordinary? Sorry, I asked, is that ordinary? That is the operation of a spirit. And what a spirit does is that it leaves a mark on you. So, for such operations to come into a community, they must have been sacrifices and altars by men who were willing to do so. There are priests in this nation. The Lord has been revealing some really interesting things to us. The level of occultism in Canada is that, you know, we came here to school to say the white man's country. It's a lie. The level of fetish works here, wickedness in this place, is high. And men have covenanted themselves to be channels for that spirit. The point I'm trying to make is this, that men can be channels for the operation of a spirit in a territory. Let's move on to the last point. For the believer, a priest offers spiritual sacrifices, or what we call incense. Can take down some scriptures, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, and Revelation 8, verse 4. For the priests, or for the believer rather, in this sense, a priest offers spiritual sacrifices or incense. Scriptures to go with that is 1 Peter 2. Verse 5 and Revelation 8, verse 4. If you can just read just 1 Peter 2, verse 5 to establish something quickly. I'll just read it quickly. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, my emphasis here is spiritual. While the sacrifices of the Old Testament were physical, you see that the church is actually defined as a spiritual house that offers what? Spiritual sacrifices. So, our sacrifices in this sense, as Revelation 8 verse 4 puts it, is incense or prayers. So what we are getting to is the fact that priesthood fundamentally speaks of the prayer ministry of the church in a territory. The prayer ministry of the church in a territory. Now, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Separated these two. There's a lot there if you combine them together. With regards to self-concept, when you, from the definitions we've outlined here, when you put two and two together, that is, if you put the definition of a king and a priest together, it's a very dangerous combination. Does anyone want to help to give a quick, just suppressed definition of what a royal priest is? A king priest, of course, but A definition. A king priest is this and this and this. Can someone do that quickly based on the definitions we have so far?
A person with authority over a territory who is representing God to men, offering spiritual sacrifices.
Is that? You see, we're in a classroom. We're in a classroom. And what she, that's actually the exact same thing I wrote. If you internalize a truth like that, we are learning this. We have not even, okay.
So can you please put that word up?
Can you quote it for us again?
He just was not doing it on the spot of the moment,
actually. So can you say that again? And I'll read my own to confirm it as a second witness.
Offering spiritual sacrifices
in form of incense. Let me read my own quickly. It's the same thing. He says, I wrote here, that a royal priest or priesthood is a man or group of men with kingly status and authority over a territory who, through the means of prayer, represent God, men before God, and men and God before women, before men. So we see the similarity. We are going deliberately to labor to outline these things. When these truths can sit in, there is a way you carry yourself as an individual. Even when it comes to the area of something is putting me down or I'm being suppressed, when you know you are a king, man was not designed to be oppressed by anything. It was the one who it was commanded to that subdued the earth. Then another person says, sin is holding me down. It's an aberration. It's not meant to be like that. Did he not say sin shall not have dominion over you? It's not possible. So, we are outlining certain things and we must see how this ties in with today, with the now church. How does this relate to the body of Christ? That is, to ourselves in this time. What is the Lord doing in this time? I would like us to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, 1 Samuel 2, I believe. 1 Samuel 2, verse 35. First Samuel 2. Verse 35. You were there, let's say amen.
Amen.
I'm coming. First Samuel 2, verse 35. Wow. Time. And I would like us to read that together. 1, 2, go. And I will raise up a faithful priesthood that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will subdue your heart, and you shall walk before my anointed forever. Now, it has been said concerning this scripture, which is true, that it refers to Jesus. That means, I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. However, there is an historical aspect of this, and there is a prophetic aspect of this, which we tie to ourselves. Now, if we could take this down, the actual account of this is fulfilled in 1 Kings 2, verse 27, which tells us of the story of a priest called Abiathar and another priest called Zadok. Please, we should go home and look into these things later. Now, four men are in picture in this story. We have a man called Adonijah, which is the son of David, one of the sons of David. We have David, which is a type of Christ. And we have Abiathar, which is one of the priests. And we have Zadok. Now, there was a revolution in Israel of some kind. And the Bible says that Adonijah exalted himself to make himself king in Israel. He exalted himself when David was still in the throne. So he wanted to do some kind of coup to take over from the back. But kingship is only conferred. If they don't give it to you, you don't have it. So he that exalts himself will be what? Will be brought low. So Adonijah exalted himself. He wanted to be king. And one error that we see was that Abiathar, which was a priest with David, left David and cleaved unto Adonijah. It's like, it's a very, very common thing, especially for us Africans. It's like the winning government. You know the way people switch from APC to PDC? It makes sense. Adonijah was young, he was vibrant. David was at a weak age, he was advancing. But according to God, he was still king over Israel. So Adonijah exalted himself. And you see Abiathar finding convenience. The Bible says he exalted himself. Abiathar went after self. Let's mark that down. He went after self. But Zadok stuck with David in a time when it was inconvenient to stay with David. It did not make sense. Now, that is the historical point of view. There is a prophetic angle to this, which every believer can tie themselves to one. Because we have established that priesthood deals with the prayer ministry of the church. We see two different kinds of prayer ministries today in the body of Christ. You see one starting the year, my year of this, my year of that, my basket of this, basket of that. We focus on things that unbelievers don't even need God to chase. Bill Gates does not make any declaration at the beginning of the year. We see that happening, a self-focused prayer, nothing tied to God. There is no interest in the things pertaining to God. But Zadok, the Bible said, Zadok stuck, he was with David. And because he was faithful to David, the Bible says that we raise up a faithful priesthood, the one who stays. Not everybody has the ability to stay. Because it's not convenient to pray the will of God. It takes intense love and clarity of vision. Intense love and clarity of vision to pray God's will when you are having things in your life to pray about. It takes intense love. It takes clarity. Those two things are important. That is why we must not just be a people of zeal, but vision as well. We must have clarity as to what God is doing at all times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see two priesthoods. That of Zadok and that of Abiathar. One is faithful and one is not what? One is unfaithful, rather. And the Lord is gathering a people in himself or to himself at this point in time from every corner of this earth. And he's beginning to pour forth his spirit upon them. Pouring forth his spirit upon them in the closets, in their congregations, all these little meetings we are having here and there. If you know the investments, things that are deposited in your spirit, only long term you will know. The Lord is beginning to visit people in their closets, and the investment is towards the kingdom. Hallelujah! It is exciting to be a kingdom man. It's not a pen. It takes, you have to see something.
Hallelujah.
If God's word is God's word, Matthew 6:33 cannot fail in your life.
Amen.
It cannot fail.
Amen.
You know, Peter was a family man. Did you hear the question he asked Jesus? He said, see, what will be our... You see, this thing I've been shouting about since I've been following you and doing normal things. But come, I have a family. You know, he was a married guy, right?
Yeah.
He was married.
Yeah.
But he came saying, let's think this thing where I need to know what is in. These boys are small boys. Join them. They don't really have much to lose. You understand? But me, I have a family. What is inside this thing for me? And the Lord said, that there shall be no loss. Say, he that has left his families, he has left father and mother and sister to follow after me, he shall not only be rewarded in this world, but in the kingdom to come. But with small persecution. Anyways, the when you have, when that is in your heart, it drives you. And God comes and he reinforces that with little actions here and there, telling you not to worry. See, there is an allocation, there is an inheritance for every man in this place.
Yes.
Regardless of whatever you may be going through, people will come to you. They will pay for your testimony on that matter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are certain things you will go through that in the moment, it makes sense. Let me focus on that. Let me focus on this one now. Let me not. These people are doing Presbyterianity, pray for Canada. Canada has its problems. But, you see, you cannot be a true means or a true vessel of help for certain people unless you have been touched by their weaknesses. You have to be touched by their weaknesses or infirmities. So the Lord will take you through similar paths sometimes for you to be able to. It's one thing to quote a scripture. Say, someone just comes and says, "This, I'm battling this. This is happening in my life." Say, "It is well. The Lord will be with you." It's good. It's good. But there's something about a testimony. I'm just speaking by inspiration, but I believe strongly that there are people here, as the Lord will have it, you are going through all manner of diverse things, and your testimonies will be asked for. They will be demanded for in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It may not look like that now, just as it was for Zadok. He was holding on to something that did not make sense. For you, it will be the same. There is no small man in this house. There is no small man. And I want to let you know that the Lord is up to something.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's get back to our meditation quick. So, we see something that is very important. We have established these two priesthoods. Now, we must return back to a statement in that same scripture. Lucy, can you put it up? He says, 1 Samuel 2, verse 35. And I will raise me up a faithful priesthood that shall do that which is in my heart, and that which is in my what?
My
mind. Like we said, there is a spiritual angle to this, but there's also a prophetic angle to this. Now, God is eternal. He does not have a beginning. And he does not have a what? An end. So for you to really, really know what was in his mind, you must refer back to what? The beginning. Which is where our meditation will. Let's go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And I want us to read from verse 26 to 28. 1, 2, go. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man
in his own image.
In the image of God created he, male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the earth, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. This scripture is very crucial to understanding the purpose of God with regards to the Christian world. It is very, very, very crucial. And every man must have it crystalline. The intention from God was that he wanted to create a man in his image and after his likeness, that he may have what? That he may have what? He may have dominion. A rule. A government on earth. Because he is created in the image of God. You realize that every other thing was not created in God's image. It was only man. And it is because of this image that is actually, it will be able to have that dominion on earth. That was the intention. A government or a heavenly government on earth administrated through man. That has been the plan of God from the ages past. You see, God is a spirit, right? The only way he can express himself is to express himself through a body. And what he wanted to do is that he wanted to reflect who he was in all of the universe, everything that was created. So he found the idea. And he said, let's create man in our image. That means man is meant to mirror the invisible reality of God. We are speaking of the fallen man, not Christ now. We will get there.
Hallelujah.
We are speaking of the first Adam. He was created in the image of God for a reason. Scripture will say that the invisible things of creation are now clearly seen and understood by the things that are what?
Not seen.
That are made. Yes. So, There is a parallel walking between that which is seen to reflect that which is made. Or that which is unseen, rather. Please, I want to drive this home. God will give the best understanding. Man is functioning beyond his determined essence.
Below.
Let's say below, rather. Sorry. When you think of man today, he's functioning way, 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 way below what God created him to be. Who is the head of Canada?
The queen.
The crown. She's actually the head. But who rules over Canada? Who rules over Canada? Now, you see, the queen is the head, right? But you have the governor general, right? And you have the prime minister, which is Trudeau. Those are the people who function on the earth, in Canada, rather. But however, they are designed to function after the British system. If you even see the Canadian Parliament, which system is it designed after? The British system. So man was meant to reflect everything that God was in the earth realm. So we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth. Where? As it is in heaven. So when you see man creating things, what God was trying to showcase, or man calling things and giving them a nature and identity, God was showcasing an aspect of himself that he's a creature, or he's a creator rather. God wanted to showcase himself through man.
And it's with regards to a government. That is why the summation of the whole thing is that the kingdom of this world will become what? The kingdom of our God and his Christ. It is a government. It is a rule. I want to pass that across. It is a government God through man. Man is functioning. When you see man, when you see people walking about with a green button in their hand and they are bound, they are drunk. Sometimes I want to.
Yes, sir.
The greatest depiction of the fall of man is captured in Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. Man fell, a king fell, and became as the beast. He was ruled by his appetite. He was subject to the same thing as beast. Man today is ruled by his ego, by his emotions, by his desire. It's like the survival of the fittest. But we're not designed to be like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we must, there are two men. Always remember, there are two men that you must know with regards to the walk with God. You must be conscious of the man Adam, and you must be conscious of who, sir?
Christ.
Of Christ. You must know. Our consciousness is Christ, however. Is our obsessive gaze. You don't take your eyes off him. Because the first Adam fell. And because God is a God who is eternal, his purposes cannot be truncated. So if the first Adam fell, we must look. In fact, we don't have time. We'll look at that on that time. I wanted to go to Psalms 8 to show some things. Because it says, what is what? What is man? Not who is man. But what? Have you ever thought about that before? What's the question? Please ask me the question if I'm not sure. What's the question?
What is man?
What is man? Let's look at that briefly. Wherever we can stop today, we'll stop. But I want to drive the what man actually is, the intention from the beginning. He says, what is man? What? Not who? If I ask you, Busola, who are you? Your answer will be a derived answer. I am the son of this. I am the daughter of this. I am a student at the other. But it is not your core identity. According to biology, you may be defined as Homo sapiens, right? That is your what. I want to drive this on. See, it's understanding we must get. I will outline what, because we must know the intention from the beginning, which this scripture will capture. Because once we can understand the statement, which is what, we can now have an appreciation for what man was actually intended to be upon the earth. I want to ask a question. Let's just imagine some kind of things now. Let's imagine animals and human beings were separate in this earth realm. Are we together?
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
But animals could talk just the way human beings could talk. So they are separate on two sides. And they have never come in contact with each other before. And one thing just happened. Maybe there was a war like what you have in, or the intention in the U.S. now, there was something, a partition war, and it breaks down. And for the first time, all the animals that can talk, they cross over to the other side, and they interact with human beings for the time. They just walk around. Just walk towards me, walk towards me, walk towards me. So, they are not an animal. No. See, the point I'm trying to make, you are walking towards me, but you are, I'm not part of your kind.
Will your question be, who are you? What would be your question? What are you? So the question here, are we getting that?
Is a root question. God does, the scriptures do not use words wrongly. That's what I'm trying to make. So if you can get what God is trying to say here, you will see the intention of man. Then we can begin to look at Jesus. Because the last Adam has a body. And whatever it is, that is what the body is here on earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. Let's move on. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now this is a translational error. The actual word is Elohim. That means, that's my job. After God, the authority system of earth was God, a man. Then every other creation, this invisible, whether angels or whatever, because it says they are fishes of the seas, they are creatures of the earth, flying things, right? But man was in his God. If you move on, he says, thou hast crowned him with what?
Glory.
With glory and honor. Who do you crown?
A king.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
So man, and like you said earlier, a crown in the spirit has to do with authority. So the crown had to do with God giving authority. I think the next scripture captures that. Say that has made him to have what?
Dominion
over the works of thy hands. And has put all things under his feet. Does this look familiar?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Who, which other person?
Jesus.
The intention is the same. Two men were the same intention. That's what I'm trying to pass across. Two men were the same intention. Now it says that he has given him dominion. That means dominion was delegated or given to Adam. But Adam fell. So we must take a look at the glorified Christ.
Amen.
That is, you see, priesthood showcases all that Christ is in a territory. It makes a case that darkness is not ruling over a territory. When the church begins to pray and pray the mind of God and align itself with the will of God, because it says they shall do that which is in my heart and my mind, they begin to connect to benefits that come from the head. So if Adam fell, we must take a look at the glorification of Jesus Christ. Now scripture says Jesus was not yet crucified or not yet glorified. Because what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was what? It was not yet given. Right? So, let's go to that scripture, which is in Acts 2. Are we together? Acts 2. Now this scripture is giving account of the glorification of Jesus Christ. Very important. I see our face, we are very excited. We want us to go on for another. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Glory be to God. Say, I have dominion.
I have dominion.
Shout it, I have dominion.
I have dominion.
Place your hand on your chest like this and say, I have God-given dominion.
I have God-given dominion.
If Adam had dominion,
then
I even have a higher form of dominion.
Then I have
a
higher form of
dominion. Because the head,
does not express
a different form of life
from the body.
And the body,
and
and the body
does not express, a different form of life, from the head. I can do all that he says I can do.
I am what he says I am.
That which he is in heaven. So am I on earth. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's look into this. This is very important. Acts 2 from verse 32 to 33. And I will read because of time and we'll point to certain things. He says from verse 2, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 36, let's read it together quickly. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Scripture is dangerous. My God, this was speaking of the day Jesus was glorified. And Peter arose. Just to give a bit of explanation, Peter arose and he began to speak by prophecy of the current truths that was happening. He was making them know that right now, not yesterday, but right now, that Jesus whom you destroyed or you killed, now he has been made, he has been glorified or coronated king in the heavens.
Hallelujah.
And you know the beautiful thing about this? It was a live experience. Do you know what happened? While the anointing oil was poured in the heavenly realm, it was manifested in the physical as the outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful thing. It tells you that the body is not disjoint from the head. As you are here, you are connected with Jesus.
Amen.
You may not feel like it, but the reality is the reality. That is why when you bind on earth, what will happen in heaven? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
We don't seem convinced about some things. You bind sometimes on earth and maybe it will happen in heaven. Whatsoever you bind. That's one of the most dangerous statements ever made in scripture. Anything you bind. And that place, that for you to even walk in that, it comes from a place of understanding. Whatsoever, the church is a government on earth. That's where I'm heading. The church is a government. And the government of this body is drawn from the reality of one word, which is where I'm going. Verse 36. He says, that same Jesus whom you crucified, today, he has been made both Lord and Christ. Not just Lord and Christ, but two things. Both. We don't have time to look into what the Christ means. Of course, we know him as the anointed. But through priesthood, through dominion in prayers, is gotten from the understanding of Jesus Christ as Lord. Until that sinks in, like it is a reality in your spirit, there is a life that comes with it. Now, if you check the Greek word for Lord, you find that it means, the word is actually kurios. It means supreme. Just the way you would think of something apex, zenith. I want to ask a question also. How many lords are there? Is there a lord over darkness? And there is a lord over light, and maybe Jesus, when we pray, he goes and say, leave my people, that kind of thing. How many lords are there?
Just one.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
There is one Lord. Scripture says all power. All power belongs to who?
God.
To God. Whether good or bad. He's the head. He holds that office. And on the day he was glorified, what happened was that he came into a legal operation of that. That is where the church draws its dominion from. Scripture says that therefore he has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Then he begins to give us hierarchies, give us ideas of where these things cover. Of the things in the heavens, where? On the things in the earth, and the things beneath the earth. Those are realms of authority. He is Lord over all things. And what does he say? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And they should confess that what?
Jesus.
They confirm it. Because it is legal in the realm of the Spirit. That is where we are headed. It is legal. The head draws strength, or the body rather, draws strength from the legality of the Lordship of Christ. The head draws strength from the legality of the Lordship of Christ. When we begin to walk in that understanding, because a king will only be, like he said, saviors shall come out of Zion. Because the one who formed you is a savior. The one who brought you forth is a savior. You can only bear his kind. So, like you said, just to point to some things real quickly. True priesthood showcases the lordship of Christ in a territory. It showcases the lordship of Christ. And because he is the head, the body can also partake of his legal dominion. Now, like we said, the body of Christ, which is our focus today, with regards to prayer, if you notice, we've not gone into anything about prayer. What we are trying to establish, like I said, is an understanding. And when you understand, first off, that the believer is a priest and a king, and also he is meant to have dominion, there will be a mindset towards praying such prayers, and it gives clarity as to vision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's move on. And we will go to a statement which is quite prophetic. That was a statement in Acts 10, Acts 1:10, verse 1 to 2. And the prophet here, Peter speaking, makes reference to that. So we'll round up there, we'll look into that. Acts 1:10. Sorry, did I say Acts? Psalms, rather, Psalms. Sorry about that. Psalms 1:10, verse 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we good? Okay. Now 1:2, go. We'll read the first. Okay, let's read to verse 1 and 2. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. This is one of the most dangerous statements in all of the scripture. And it is captured only, I think, 3 times. One from a prophetic angle, you see in David. Peter speaking of the life event, and I think in Hebrews 10, Paul, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, outlines that. Hebrews 10, verse... Someone is looking at me for scripture, so I have to quote it. Hebrews 10, verse... I think verse... Just check verse chapter 10. You'll find it somewhere in here. So, yeah. So, I want to point to something here real quick. This is the same statement that was made, and it's for the reason of dominion. You know, we said at the beginning that the Lord is waiting till his enemies be made a what? His footstool. And the discussion here is a discussion of laws. The next statement says, he will send the rod of his strength where? Out of Zion. And what will happen? Rule down in the midst of them. So we see that which was lost in the first Adam is reinitiated in the last Adam. In fact, if you check the word rule here, you will find that that is the same root word. In fact, the same Greek, exact Greek word for dominion in Genesis 26. 1 verse 26. The intention was the same, but the glory is different. Please tell your neighbor, rule down.
Rule down.
Tapping again, and say, rule down. Is that how you rule? Is that a lightness? Maybe we rule with softness. Tap it, say, rule down. What kind of ruling is that? You notice it's not a suggestion. It's a what? It's a command. It's an expectation. That's the point. What he's referring to is the body. Not one man, but the body. A body that was prepared for. He's referring to the body and the command, the expectation. Is not something we come and we negotiate. It is a domineering mindset. That when you are praying, you are coming from a point of understanding that I am a king, I am a priest. I am seated with Jesus, with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. And because of that, I can do what? I can rule. That is the expectation of the church. And this is what the Lord is going to be communicating to the end time church. It must be clear, because the kingdoms of this world, you see, we talk about judgment, it's not a people that are not coming. See, yeah, that's a term. Yeah, it's not something far. That's what I mean. It's not, it's happening now. Men have walked in this capacity. Men have stood, and they've stood as judges against cities. While on earth. In Revelation 11, he says, I will give unto my two witnesses what? Power. The word there is actually authority. He will give them, he will delegate it to them, he will confer it upon them, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy against nations, they will prophesy against dominions of the earth. And that's what the Lord is doing at this time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the mandate is what? The mandate is what, sir? The mandate is what? It is rule. It must sink in. It must sink in. That is the expectation. It means to command obedience. You may not seem like it. Someone may be, like I've said earlier, it does not make sense to you. This ruling thing does not concern me. I want to go and do my assignment. Oh my God, we will see ourselves the way the Lord sees us.
Amen.
He says, ye are my battle axe. Amen. And weapons of what? Of warfare. Amen. You, with you, I will break in pieces nations. With thee, I will break in pieces the kingdoms, the horses and his riders. Did he say you will do it yourself? What did he say?
Yeah.
With thee. Does the axe swing itself? It jumps. You must see yourself the way the Lord sees you. Whenever you just have a burden, you're not sure. You're not sure of why that thing is coming. You just have a small burden to pray. It can mean a lot. Just a tongue just comes, you're at work. Find a place and begin to kabbalah. You don't know what is happening. Something is happening. You are exacting dominion there. Let me share, as we round up, let me share one experience I had. I think I shared this in one of our groups in Bible study. Some years back, I think 2 years ago, I woke up at night and I just had a body to pray. Nothing really serious, not even one heavy. No, there's that heaviness that could come sometimes. So just a sensation, just the prayer. I began to pray. As I began to pray, it was reading, picking momentum, and I prayed it up. Now, the next day, someone from my mom actually called me, and he said, I had a dream, and while you were in the dream, a lion was trying to walk into your father's room, and you came and you stood at the door like this. Now, someone says, wow. Hope you know it's not looking that way.
Yes,
if it is in me in real life, there's no flesh there for the lion. The lion will just run. He will just say, come on, get out. The point I'm trying to make is that you don't know what you may be thinking of yourself as nothing, but what you are praying is deciding the affairs of men. Who knows what would have manifested if that happened? It's Jesus that stood at the door. However, it took a man to participate. That is government. That is my point I'm trying to make. That is government. That is rule. That is dominion. And such is the Lord committing to us in this time. You know, Adam was committed. He gave him the garden to watch over it. He was a custodian of the garden. That's why you hear things like wild men slept. Men are very important in priesthood. The Lord will be committing things to our hands. Don't see yourself as small. Please, don't see yourself as small. If you think you are struggling in any way with regards to prayer, the Lord is bringing grace. He has begun to supply that grace upon the house. He has begun to pour forth His Spirit in high dimensions. Because the expectation in this time is rule. It is an expectation. That means He is confident in you.
Amen.
Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints. Arise, Son of Zion, and rule in the midst of your foes. Arise,
Son of Zion,
and rule in the midst of your foes. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000. The Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints.
We can't stop.
We're entering prayers right now. There's one more thing we must take now. I want us to, it's part of the message, but if you take